Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 27, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I do seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you have been in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Cleo's people that what I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cephas and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of the Stephens. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. What did the boy band that plays classical music name itself? The Bach Street Boys. Why did the cow start taking singing lessons? Because she wanted to be a musician. I just learned that the drummer from my old band had triplets, and they're all girls, and he calls them Anna 1, Anna 2, Anna 3. I liked that one. I was one of six children, second born, eldest girl. And by the time I was in junior high, I was caring for my four younger siblings during the summer months while my mother slept following her night shift duties on the telephone switchboard at St. Joseph's Hospital in Louisville. And for this, my mother could afford to pay me $8 a week. That was a heady sum for a 12-year-old at the time. And since I got paid every other week, I would have 16 whole dollars in my hand to do with what I liked. And one of my first purchases, and it didn't even cost a full week's salary, was something that brought me great joy for years to come. It was a black plastic transistor radio about the size of a postcard. Now, how many of you all had one of those? Excellent, of course you did. I listened to that thing for hours, and like millions of teens, I always tuned in each week for Casey Kasem's America's Top 40. Exactly. It was glorious. I knew all the songs and sang along with them. It debuted on July 4th, 1970, and does anyone know what the number one hit was that week? Mama Told Me Not to Come by Three Dog Night. Betsy is like, yeah! So now I got a couple trivia questions for you. What band has had the most hits simultaneously on the Billboard Top 100 hits? They also had 20 number one hits, the most by any group, at the top of the charts. Who was it? Come on, say it loud and proud. The Beatles, of course. How could it be anyone else? In April of 1964, the Beatles had 12, including the top five spots. Can you believe that? It's true. Now, here's my other question. With over 50 million times, what is the most played song in history? It was never a hit single, and it never played in the top 40. Say it loud. No, not the national anthem. That was a good guess. You all know it. I know you do. It's a Small World. Oh! And for any of you who have ever been to Disneyland or Disney World and you go on that ride, it's an earworm the rest of the day. A generation ago, maybe two generations ago, if we want to get technical, most teenagers listened to the same type of music. And everyone knew which hits were in the top 40. And now the music market is split into rap, heavy metal, classic rock, country, alternative rock, Christian modern rock, country, alternative rock, hip-hop, and others. And everyone's listening to something different. There is no one at the top of the charts because there are so many charts. The internet lists over 50 single charts worldwide, ranging from the Rick D's Weekly Top 40 to the Billboard Hot Rap Singles Top 20. Now, of course, there's always been variety in popular music, and 50 years ago, few people would have made the case that the Beach Boys, Elvis Presley, Marvin Gaye, and little Stevie Wonder were all playing the same kind of music and were adored equally by everyone. But most fans would know their names and their songs and seen them as a part of the same musical community. Well, in our text for today, Paul criticizes the church in Corinth for splitting into fan clubs for Paul, for Apollos, for Cephas, and for Christ. And he calls members of the Christian community to unite in the same mind and purpose, and to follow an undivided Christ. And the same challenge lies before us, to focus not on direction, but to look only to Jesus, the sole head of the church universal and savior of all humankind. Christ should be number one on any Christian's top 40 list. Jesus Christ superstar, so to speak. If Christ is at the top of our charts, we will find that a number of truths emerge. Like different parts of a contemporary hit, different instruments in a modern band, different staffs on a sheet of music, These core convictions or rhythms work together to make music we can all appreciate. There's the rhythm that suggests, for example, that being a Christian is where it's at. This is the beat that should undergird and drive the spiritual song that forms a soundtrack for our lives. But problems arise when we let our own preferences get in the way, when we march to the beat of whatever drummer seems most pleasing to us. And with all these different tempos and beats all around us all the time, we can lose touch with the steady, saving drumbeat of Jesus the Christ. Our call is to respond to Christ, not to a human agenda. To close the gap between what I am and what God wants of me, wrote Joseph Cardinal Bernardin in his book, The Gift of Peace, I must empty myself and let Jesus come in and take over. I have prayed to understand his agenda for me. It is unsettling to pray to be emptied of self. It seems a challenge almost beyond our reach as humans. But if we try, I have learned, God does most of the work. I must simply let myself go in love and trust of the Lord. It is truly unsettling to let go of our own personal agendas and allow Christ to come in and take charge. What will he ask of us? A higher standard of morality and justice? Greater generosity? More willingness to forgive? But if being a Christian is our primary identity, we will find a way to allow Jesus to lay down the drumbeat for our lives. There is a rhythm which suggests that being faithful is critical to authentic discipleship. The melody strummed through the pages of Scripture is one of faithfulness, not perfection, and we should be thankful for this. The Corinthian church was following so many different drumbeats and putting their trust in religious leaders instead of Jesus Christ, a problem that unfortunately continues throughout Christendom today. Unfortunately, we sometimes forget that we are imperfect creatures instead of perfect creators, petty people instead of loving lords, selfish sinners instead of selfless saviors. And we come down rather hard on ourselves and on others. Part of us knows that we are called to trust Christ, to lean on him, to walk with him into an uncertain future. But another part acts as though our job is to achieve moral, spiritual, and doctrinal perfection. One of the best exercises in faithfulness, as opposed to perfection, is worship. In worship, we rediscover that we are of Christ. In the confession, forgiveness, proclamation, praise, thanksgiving, and fellowship of worship, we rediscover that our mission in life is to be faithful to the God who creates us, redeems us, sustains us, and loves us in spite of our imperfections. And when we see ourselves as redeemed and loved by God, we can see others in that light as well. Within the body of Christ, acceptance of each other is required. Agreement on fine points of doctrine, it's optional. There's yet another rhythm supporting the tune we sing, and that is the pounding insistence that being a witness is vital to acknowledging Christ's preeminent place in our lives. It takes a human soul to speak of God's goodness and to bear witness to divine wonders. This past week, we commemorated Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I used the time stranded at home to watch the movie Nuremberg, highly recommended. And I reread parts of German evangelical Lutheran pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, also highly recommended. Now, the book emphasizes that true Christian faith requires costly commitment, contrasting cheap grace with costly grace. And elsewhere he wrote, "We shall continue to have it only through Jesus Christ. The more genuine and the deeper our community becomes, the more will everything else between us recede. The more clearly and purely will Jesus Christ and his work become the one and only thing that is vital between us. We have one another only through Christ. But through Christ, we do have one another, wholly and for all eternity." Bonhoeffer was known for his staunch resistance to the Nazi dictatorship, including vocal oppositions to the Nazi Final Solution that persecuted and executed over 6 million Jews. He was arrested on April 1943 by the Gestapo and imprisoned for 18 months before being transferred to Flossenbürg concentration camp. He was hanged on April 9, 1945, during the collapse of the Nazi regime. And witnesses recorded his last words as, "This is the end for me, the beginning of life." A few days later, the Allied forces liberated the camps. Each of us today must choose whether to be shaped by our culture or to follow our calling, to use our life to work or to bear witness. The call of Christ has always been to show the world that we are God's people in all that we say and do, at work or at home, in our labors and in our leisure. So who is at the top of the charts for you? If it's Jesus the Christ, you'll be singing a song that the whole world needs to hear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.